Hello friends, it's Monday morning. We're in a secret bunker at IO Radio.
It's on Norwich Road.
And it's time for the latest and possibly award-winning episode of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. My name is Mark Heath. I'm your host with the second most, if polls are to be believed. And with me across the table, tagging in for the doctor who's taking some more time off, back from his own hollybobs, back from Bilbao, is the man that I like to call Alfred Hutchcock, Michael Hutchins. But I think the word that describes you best, or the name that describes you best, is Hutch Hogan.
Do you think I need to change this music to the Hulk Hogan music?
What is the Hulk Hogan music? Ross, you'll know this.
What is it? I am a real American.
That doesn't really work for you, though, does it? Because you're not American.
No, from Suffolk.
And this is, as we discussed before, this is your dance music.
I am the walrus.
You're the walrus, and this is your music.
I'm a confused man. Too many nicknames. Too many alter egos.
Andy Warren, how are you?
Good to be back.
How was your holiday?
Very nice.
Tell us about Bilbao.
If you like good food, which I know you do.
I do, very much.
It's a good place for you. It was 40 degrees heat, which is too much for me.
You don't like the heat, though, do you?
No. Yeah, that was like that at 9 o'clock at night. Didn't get cool until 9 at night.
So is your back sweating all over the shop?
Yeah, I took precautions for that. Just also made sure I had a bag on my back the whole time so no one could see it.
What precautions did you take? Are we talking about the deodorising?
Yeah. Thick t-shirts.
Yeah.
Well, not thick. Well coloured. No, lovely place. I'd recommend it.
What was the best thing you did?
Eat. Just eat. Graze.
What was the best thing you ate?
The Basque interpretation of tapas, which is called pinchos.
Pinchos?
Very bit different. It's all on sticks.
Ooh, nice.
On top of bits of quite nice bread.
Lovely.
So I'd had some octopus. Ooh. Octopus ones. Jessica, my little girl had octopus.
Did she like it?
As a one-year-old, she loved it.
So was it well cooked? So obviously it can be extremely chewy.
No, it was very good.
Excellent.
Exceptional.
Did you have some wine?
I did, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I had two glasses of wine. No beers.
No beers?
No. I bought a beer, but didn't drink it. I had two glasses of Basque wine. Very nice.
Lovely. And I should also say, setting the scene for you, Hutchie's sitting in his seat and about less than a foot away from him is a box of cornflakes, which you carried into the studio this morning.
What's your issue with it?
Obviously, I'd assume you're going to eat them at some point, but there's no bowl, so you're just going to stick your hand in.
I'm not going to eat it now. I've got a bowl at the office, haven't I?
You eat breakfast at the office now? Is that your thing?
I might even have it for lunch. Who knows? I just want it there just to...
Such a maverick. Cornflakes, by the way. Seriously underrated breakfast cereal.
Yeah, cornflakes as well. You'll notice that they're not a Kellogg's cornflake. That is a Tesco's cornflake. That is perhaps the only cereal where it's 100% acceptable to go off-brand.
Yeah.
Because they're just as good.
Exactly.
Others, you will notice the difference. Cornflakes, no issue with that at all.
Excellent. Good to have you back, my friend.
Nice to be back.
And the ever-presence, obviously I'm one of them, and the other one is the greatest producer on Earth and in other planets as well. Certainly has the greatest intro music.
Can we just talk through the issues that we had pre-pod today?
Yeah, so when we walk into the studio, of course, producer Ross is the man I'm talking about as his music plays. His music hits and he walks out. So whenever we walk into the studio on Monday morning IO Radio, nothing works. So we have a good 5 minutes of Ross kind of unplugging and replugging and kind of moving things around. And today our headphones weren't working. Andy pointed out there was no on light on the headphone pack. And we had a guy who came in. This is his actual name, by the way. His name is Sam Brilliant.
Brilliant.
And he is brilliant. he is brilliant because he every time we've got problems, he walks in and he sorts it out. He has a sort of little moan at Ross. And today, Sam found a plug on the floor, which he plugged in, and lo and behold, we were working.
He cracked that case, didn't he?
To be fair, sorry to interrupt there, I'm not paid to do that sort of thing.
You are.
I'm paid to put the faders up and play the,
Yeah, technical stuff.
You're paid to put the faders up.
Yeah. Producer, that's what producers do.
They don't plug things in.
I don't leave it for the electricians and, technicians and all that.
So luckily we had some technical support from the aforementioned
technical
Sam. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Sam. And thank you, IO Radio, for having us. Ross.
Hi.
You were off on Friday.
I was.
What did you do?
Not much, to be fair.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Come on.
I was at Portman Road Stadium.
Yeah, what were you doing?
Yeah, a little meeting with the Ipswich Town women's team.
Oh, yeah.
A little meeting before the season starts. We need some money. So we're fundraising and trying to get sponsorships in.
When does the season start?
18th of August, but of course pre-season, but then the first game of the season, 18th of August. So a nice little view of Porton Road. The pitch is looking nice.
Has it got some grass on it now?
Yes, it has.
Last time I saw it, it was a beach.
Yes, it's getting there. Still got a few little lines and stuff of, you know, not grass, but yeah, it's getting there.
Boys, do you know what I did last Thursday?
No.
On the subject of food, I'm going to tell you.
Oh.
I was invited to the launch of the 8-course tasting menu at the excellent Brewer's Arms in Rattleston, and it was superb. Right, if you're after a special meal in Suffolk, go there. But in the course of the evening, as you do, when you've been drinking, I had a flight of wine, so I had a few wines.
What is a flight of wine?
So it's when you have a tasting menu, a flight of wine is a wine with each course.
Selected to
so
go
with. So
it's
paired
it.
Specifically with each course. It's tremendous. It's one of the best things you can do on earth for me. Go and have a tasting menu with a flight of wine. Anyway, so you're drinking a lot of wine. Obviously, nature takes its course. I need to go to the toilet. I say, where's the toilet? Downstairs on the left. Off I go. Off I trot. Walk in. Think, oh, yeah, it smells nice in here. This is proper, this is. Two cubicles as well. This is fantastic.
Oh, no.
Walk into the cubicle. About to unleash little Heath.
Oh, no.
And look up. And there's a on the window shelf, windowsill in front of me, there's a selection of women's sanitary products.
Oh.
And I immediately think, oh my God, I'm in the women's toilets.
Are you too far gone by this?
No,
are you committed?
Luckily, the lad was not in hand. So I managed to about face and literally sprint out of the women's toilet. All I could hear in my head, because along the other people that were there to this exclusive event were other kind of foodie blogger people. I could see just shame of...
Yeah.
East Anglian Daily Times food reviewer Mark Keith.
You'd end up in one of those blogs.
Exactly. Yeah. And thank God there was no one either coming in or going out of the ladies. There was no one in there. So I managed to sprint out and find the gents. But yeah.
Did it smell nice in there as well?
Not nearly as nice, my friend. Not nearly as nice.
Excellent.
Have you ever done that or is it just me?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think I might have actually completed the business as well.
Really?
Yeah. Not for a long time.
Done the transaction.
I'm rocking kind of other... more disabled toilet man at the moment because that's often where the baby changing facilities are.
Yeah.
Which is great because you can get that all done, get that bit out of the way.
Yeah.
So you can have a little run around on what is a massive floor.
Huge space, yeah.
And I can just...
take your time.
Yeah, it's great.
Did you add to Andy Warren's 80 dumps around the world in Bilbao? Was there anywhere?
The Guggenheim Museum.
Yeah?
Yeah, famous art gallery, yeah.
Nice. You dropped trow, as it were.
Yeah, to be fair, it would... be close to being up to exhibit standard in that place.
You weren't a fan?
No, I loved it. It was brilliant. Yeah. It's not really my thing. I'm not an art
lover.
Why
did you go then? Is
because,
Vicky?
No, not really. It's just
taking it in.
Yeah, take it in. I quite like, we're going deep now, quite like modern art because I can almost mock it.
Yeah.
And I have my own thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, just evoking feelings in a room that's just got a red flashing light in there.
Wow.
How did that make me feel?
Annoyed, I'd imagine.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, and a bit sick.
Yeah,
good. Very good.
Good. So now we've all caught up. It is fantastic to see Hutchie back. Obviously, me and Ross are always here, and good to see you, Ross. Glad you had a good day off.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Ipswich Town, which is what we're here for, loosely. Last week, there were things happening, my friend, when you weren't here.
No idea, mate. I've got nothing to say on any of this.
We better wrap it up. Thanks for joining us. So last week, obviously, Big Bart, first of all. We thought he was going to Millwall. Now he's not going to Millwall.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Stewie Watson, who's not with us, will be back later on this week, ahead of your trip to Germany. We'll talk about that later on. He reported on that. So, Bart's knee proved dicky in the medical. Millwall said, damaged goods, can we have some cash off, basically. Marcus, he say no. So, Bart remains a Town player. What can you tell us, Hutchie?
Oh, well
that's
the story.
Obviously.
That is the story.
But tell us the story behind the story. First of all, I'm assuming that just because Bart is not going to Millwall, that doesn't mean he's not going anywhere else.
No. There were four. I think four teams have contacted Ipswich with an expression of interest. There, you do just have to wonder what this situation does for that, because it's not a great. It's not a great look for Bart, is it? As much as
what's wrong with his knee? Do we know?
He had a serious knee injury when he was at Southampton. As a really young goalkeeper, and there's a, I think he has a cartilage issue in one of his knees as a result. But you just have to look at it. He doesn't miss games through injury, and that's what Ipswich have said to Millwall. Like he doesn't miss games. The last game, like, he was obviously dropped last season and missed some games through that. That wasn't through injury. The last game I can remember him missing through injury was against Leeds, January 2018, when he was sat in the stands and they pumped Dean Gherkin full of injections for a week so that he could stand up for 90 minutes, and Bart just missed that one game with a, I think it might have been a knee injury actually, thinking about what that was. But he doesn't miss games. He's a goalkeeper. He's not charging around. He's not running around. It doesn't impact him. I think the Ipswich physios, who were obviously in contact with Millwall about this, have said he's as good as he's ever been. Like, he's in the same condition that we got him. Yeah. We've got the receipt. he's still under the guarantee from when we signed him from Notts County 5 years ago.
And they're talking about the deal being 900k.
Yeah.
Which a lot of town fans were saying was a bit low anyway for said keeper. What do you reckon? Just realistic.
Yeah, I think it's realistic, I'm afraid. Mm. If we're taking the 3 million that they rejected last summer as being what he was worth then, which I think we looked at the goalkeeper market and goalkeepers that had moved sort of coming up to that time at that age, at that stage of their careers, having been a championship goalkeeper for all their careers, that was about right. Since then, he's had a season where he was a long, long way from what we know he can be. Dropped twice as part of a team that was relegated, didn't keep a clean sheet all season. Ipswich have obviously got a 9 million sort of funding black hole to fill. I'd say it's about right, to be honest. I think they wanted 1.5 million initially. But I would say that figure, 900 million, is probably about right.
900 million?
No, it's 900 million pounds.
Yeah. 900 to a million.
I meant 900 million.
So Bart is staying put for the time being. Now, is there any danger, though, that we're going to end up in a situation like last season where Bart goes maybe on the eve of the season and then Town are suddenly left scrambling to find... Because obviously at the moment they're not going to sign another keeper, are they?
No.
While he's still here.
No, definitely not.
But should he depart, they're going to need at least another one to challenge.
Yeah, I think they would be comfortable. Obviously, Thomas Holy would then be the starting goalkeeper, and I think they would be comfortable to start the season with, I'd imagine, Harry Wright on the bench. They were happy to have him on the bench at the end of last season for games. I think they'd be happy to do so again, but they would certainly be looking for someone else in that eventuality. But I don't think there would be any mad panic were a bid to come in on like August the 1st or something. It wouldn't derail anything.
And moving on to other sexy stuff, which is of course the transfer stuff. Town are in for a winger, a man called Mayer. How do you pronounce that? Mayer?
Don't know. It could be right either, couldn't it?
Someone who rules over a town.
I would say Mayer.
Mayer. One of my first jobs in journalism when I started at the Bury Free Press too many years ago to mention was to interview the new Bury St Edmunds mayor, and I got myself all in a fluster because I thought, naively at the time, that was actually an important person.
It's not, is it?
Not really. No,
but I had change to, it every year.
I had to call a Madam Mayor while I was interviewing her.
Did you go in the mayor's parlour?
No, at the time the mayor of Bury had a residence.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I was introduced in the mayor's front room, had tea, and talked about her year ahead as mayor. It was very exciting. I was like 19 years old and I had a shaved head and lines shaved into my eyebrows. And
people like you normally go to the mayor's parlour when they've achieved something through adversity.
Exactly, yeah. I did not look at home in said mayor's parlour. Anyway, obviously now I'm a fine, upstanding member of society. And
we should be going to see the mayor.
Should be.
We should do a podcast for
the mayor's
parlour.
They should be coming to see us.
At IO Radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
So the lad, the winger mayor, Barry Winger, he is former League Two player of the season. I think finished runner-up behind Norwood.
Yeah, I think the year before that, maybe no, 2 years prior.
Yeah. First of all, our town actually targeting people based on their name? So you've got, we've already signed a Lord after a mayor now. We've got already in the squad, there's a bishop, there's a judge. So we need definitely town need to make a bid for Andy King, don't they?
Yes.
They need someone Prince Boateng.
Kevin Prince Boateng.
Yeah, yep. Get him in. And I'm thinking we could try and get Nick Pope as well.
Yep.
We need a keeper, potentially.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd drop down. So that would be superb. And obviously, the Lord Mayor's show is what we want.
The Lord Mayor's... Oh, that's a headline, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Two from Norwood, one from Mayor.
Exactly, you can see it now.
You wait. So Brenner Woolley will nick that now.
Trademark.
No, it's been put out there.
Trademark. So what do we know about this lad? Obviously, he's a talented young man. He looks... We're watching the highlight videos of him, and it's fair to say he's very right-footed.
He is all right-footed, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I don't think he touched the ball with his left foot.
No.
He constantly wants to cut inside and...
He's
and
inverted.
Fire a shot in.
Yeah.
Obviously, Town are not the only ones in for him. There's quite a lot of interest in the, mm-hmm. in the lad. Fleetwood, Plymouth...
Yep, and Tranmere.
Tranmere. And so he was in town last week. Obviously, had the pitch, and then off to make other visits. So what's the latest on that? We're just basically waiting for him now.
Yeah, a decision. But no, this is one I need to catch up on a little bit. But it sounds like just a decision, waiting on a decision. You look at the clubs there. You're looking at Ipswich Town, Tranmere Rovers, recently promoted to League One, Plymouth, who are in League Two, and Fleetwood.
Mm.
And you would think, looking at that, there's a standout club for a player who's you know not played at that level of a club for some time.
Tranmere, you're talking about.
Yes. But there are obviously added issues in there. I think he's very much at home in the Northwest. He's left Bury grudgingly. If he could, he would still be there. But they've obviously got financial issues, which means he can't be kept on. Very much at home up north. And the attraction at Plymouth is that Ryan Lowe, the former Bury manager from last season, is the manager of Plymouth. So there are factors there beyond size of club, ambition, etc. So a bit more of a complicated one. And if for whatever reason, and I don't know what he's thinking, obviously, if it were to not happen, I don't think it's one where you'd look at it and go, oh, goodness, Ipswich couldn't get a deal over the line past Tranmere and Fleetwood. I think there are just other issues on this one.
Okay. And just before we move on to news of a proper big signing, which we brought you last week, Alan Judge, the QPR link resurfaced yesterday, sparked a flurry of activity on the Ballers group chat. Linked with QPR again, second time. This time was the Sun on Sunday. It was the Daily Mirror that first had the link. And we thought it was nonsense the first time around. Still nonsense?
I checked that one out this morning. I wouldn't say it's nonsense, but there's been no bid for him, no approach for him. But it's obvious Mark Warburton likes him. Of course he does. Alan Judge isn't itching to move. He happily signed a contract at Ipswich, is excited about that. Going well with his recovery from a broken wrist by all accounts. Looking forward to get back into training, possibly in time for the Germany trip later in the week, hopefully. It's not one you should rule out QPR having a go at, especially if they do sell Freeman to Sheffield United. They'll have a bit more firepower about them, but it's not one that anybody from the Ipswich side of things is itching to happen.
It would be classed, I guess, as a big surprise if it did happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would be. It would be, just because he signed that contract in April, didn't he? And he's very much a centrepiece of what they're trying to do.
Rumours of a release clause.
No, there's no release clause, I've been told. No release clause. Ipswich would have to accept an offer for that to happen.
I think it would be a massive, massive shock if Alan Judge was allowed to depart, unless we're talking huge money.
Yeah. And I don't think QPR would pay huge
money. They're not in
the
situation.
But Warburton likes him, of course he does. He was a really important player for him at Brentford. It makes a bit, you know, you look at it and from a human point of view, I don't think Alan has moved to Suffolk yet. He said he's going to move his family, but look, if an opportunity to stay in West London, stay in the Championship, play for a manager that he knows, likes, has got the best out of him before, it makes sense from that point of view. But he's not, from what I'm told, he's not itching to do it. He's happy. He signed the contract for the right reasons, and he's looking forward to getting going with Ipswich.
Come on, Alan. Get yourself over to Suffolk. Get yourself a nice house, South Wold Way.
Some lovely houses.
Even Felix, though, some lovely old houses driving out to Old Felix, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
£1 million. That's what you need. That's a footballer's house. Lots of glass and metal. Get yourself one of them. Look
big
out at
garden.
The sea. Absolutely. Yep. Get yourself settled, my son.
His young lad looks a talented young man, football-wise.
Is he?
Judging from...
how old is he?
From the gram. Primary school age.
Is he?
I don't know. Maybe
sign him uptown.
Maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah,
he looks decent. Got
that's
a good
the sort
touch.
Of age that kids are already on books of places, isn't
it?
Yeah,
so. Got a good touch.
Yeah, wow. Okay, we'll see. And before we move on, Well, let's talk about the big signing of last week.
Are we meeting him today?
He's not coming in because distance is an issue. But let's not rule it out, my friend, because it may happen.
I'm excited.
So there was a story that broke last week. A young man called Ahmed on Twitter was tweeting all sorts of football clubs saying, please sign me, I'll add depth and try my best and all that sort of stuff. Town were one of those clubs that he tweeted, and Town duly did the announce Ahmed hashtag GIF, which fans found most entertaining. Grant Pringle, I think, was the man behind that, wasn't it?
I'm loath to praise Grant Pringle for anything. Yeah. Yes.
But I think that was him.
No, and obviously, a good lad, Grant.
Obviously, Town fans had a bit of fun with it. But Stewie Watson, inspired by your search for Fanini, decided that he was going to track down Ahmed, and duly did so when we ran what I thought was a really nice story, a proper story, proper journalism.
I said that to Stu that morning. Yeah. I bet it feels nice to have done something proper rather than the nonsense that we normally do.
Here are 10 town players that might go elsewhere or could
be human linked. Story.
Exactly, a proper story, which we don't get very often in sports journalism because it's all frippery and nonsense, really. But he tracked him down in Kenya and had a chat with him, and we did said story. And obviously, Stewie is not with us this week. There was talk that he was going to come in specially for this pod, but quickly, that quickly ended.
Yeah, I noticed that on our group chat. That ended very quickly.
He did actually say, oh, I might come in. Obviously, no, that was never on the books. But so me and Stewie sat down last Friday for a special little mini pod, which producer Ross is now going to play in. So here is the story of finding Ahmed and Stuart Watson explaining how it all came about and what happened. Podcast extra, because Stuart Watson can't be with us in the studio today. But he's got an interesting story to tell. Ipswich Town made a new signing on Monday, officially announced on Twitter. A young man called Ahmed, which subsequently got fans excited. The Daily Mail did a story taking the piss out of it, basically. But you, my friend, you tracked down the story behind the story. You tracked down Ahmed, and you're about to share with us his story. So take us back to the point, the start. So it started with tweets, to begin with, from this young man.
Yeah. We haven't put this story out on the internet yet as we sit here recording this, and I've got no idea whether people will find it interesting or not, but the tale starts on Monday when somebody with a fairly spurious Twitter profile, no picture, the Twitter handle was Ahmed with a load of numbers behind it, looked very much like a bot, tweeted Ipswich Town in reply to some of their pre-season pictures saying, basically, my name is Ahmed, I'm 20, I'm from Kenya, I can play anywhere, left wing, right wing, I promise to give my all if you give me a chance. So several Ipswich Town fans replied jokingly, hashtag announce Ahmed. Ipswich Town club media man Grant Pringle jokingly gave it the signing treatment, gave it the same graphic that they used when James Norwood signed, where hashtag announce Ahmed morphs into hashtag Ahmed announced. As you say, the gag kind of ran from there. It got picked up by the Mail Online. One fan then went and got Ahmed 47 on the back of his shirt at the club shop. And that's probably where the story should have ended, but I decided to try and track down Ahmed and see what it was all about.
No, it's not where it should have ended, my friend. You did the proper journalism. You went behind the story here. Everyone else was just scratching the surface. The Daily Mail, as I said, did a little bit of a piss take. You thought, no, if Andy Warren can track down Fanini George, I can track down Ahmed.
Yeah.
So you immediately set to work about finding the story as opposed to the kind of frippery on the surface.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. I thought it may have been I thought it may have been a prank. I thought it may have just been an Ipswich Town fan who'd set up an account. And so I went into it a little bit fearful that somebody was on the wind-up, but managed to get him to follow me back. We exchanged a few direct messages. I was just feeling out this mysterious man to see, you know, whether he's legit, who he was. That led to an exchange of mobile numbers. There was some WhatsApp messages. It checked out as a Kenyan mobile phone number, which was a good start, and then eventually this morning we arranged for a phone conversation. So we had a little chat over WhatsApp, and Ahmed is indeed a real person from Kenya who is an aspiring football player.
Yeah,
and he was genuine. He was genuinely hoping would reply to him, because he bombarded the whole lot of them, by the way, on Twitter and Instagram. And he was a little bit bemused by all of this, to be honest.
First things first, he's not actually called Ahmed, is he?
He's not called
Ahmed. His full name is?
His full name is Joseph Semiyu Muse Wabuge. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Ahmed, but he prefers to go by the name of Ahmed. He grew up a Muslim, hence Ahmed, but I think his family have converted to Catholicism, and his name got changed at the age of 10. So that immediately was an interesting start to the tale. He grew up in a pretty remote part of Kenya, is now studying at university in Nairobi, but has a massive family to support financially, from a polygamous family, actually, with various siblings and things to support. Plays on sort of dusty, sandy pitches, had to sort of really scrape together some money to buy his only pair of football boots that have had to last him forever. Plays for his university football team at the moment, and while his father wants him to focus on studying, biostatistics is what he's studying, he has got this football dream, as many young boys and men across the globe do. And you know, football, the Premier League is massive across Africa and in Kenya, and Wanyama at Tottenham is obviously one of his idols. And he was genuinely hoping, out of desperation, I think, that he would catch somebody's eye. And this probably isn't the type of response that he wanted, but it's certainly got him recognised.
Just given, because he sent you a couple of pictures as well, didn't he, of he plays football, he and his mates play football. We take it for granted that we play with a ball. We can walk into any shop and buy a football. He plays football with a ball made out of netting, essentially, which they have to use a knife to kind of shape and cut and tie into shape. And he plays football in $6 football boots, doesn't he? So, again, it's kind of this thing. We take for granted that we can access a ball and a decent pair of boots. But young Ahmed, life is very different for him.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've just been looking at Google Maps at some of the places that he lives and where he studies and everything. And it's, as he says, he's from a pretty humble background, really. And then I never thought that this story, which started as a bit of a joke, would lead us down this path, really. And it's, as I say, I've got no idea whether this will interest people, whether people will think that the story didn't need to go this far. But to me, it just shows the power of the internet, of social media, what a small world we live in now, how people can forge these connections and how quickly it can lead to things like that. Everton are playing over in Kenya in a pre-season tour next month, actually, just down the road from where he lives. And I just hope that this story somehow gets picked up by somebody, and I don't know whether we can organise to get that shirt flown over to him and delivered to him over there, whether somebody from Everton says come and watch us train, something like that, because you know, he seems like a really genuine lad, and you couldn't help but sort of feel the best for him.
Just tell us what he told you. You talked to him obviously about the kind of almost kind of jokey response to it and how he was quite upset about that, but then that's in turn he's kind of now looking at it as another way of fueling this dream that he's got.
Yeah, I think he was a bit bemused by it to start with. It was a genuine, if naive, sort of plea to the various football clubs. I don't think he really got the joke to start with. I think he can only kind of check his online every now and again, because he has to buy data bundles where he is quite remotely. So to start with, I don't know if he thought it was kind of semi-real or not, but when he kind of realised it was a joke, he said, he found it a little bit hurtful to start with, but very quickly he's kind of seeing the positives in it, and saying that it's kind of strengthened his hopes and dreams further, which is a powerful message for us all to take, I think.
Absolutely. Great bit of journalism, Stu, I've got to say. As I say, finding the story behind the story. Ipswich Town, please do send this young man a shirt, and let's see, could we maybe one day get the guy over and have him have him kind of walk around the pitch at half time? That would be tremendous. And as you say, I hope someone somewhere gives him a chance maybe to prove his footballing skills. It is a wonderful story. Ahmed, if you are listening, because when we put this podcast online, we will tag you in it on Twitter. So hopefully you are going to listen to it. Is that possible, Stu? You're looking at me.
Yes.
Yeah. So hopefully you can listen to this, my friend. Thank you very much for speaking to Stuart. And thank you for the story, really. Because as I say, it is a proper story. It's one of hope and a kind of a dream, which we all obviously have. Stewie, anything else to add?
No, good luck, young man. All the very best, Ahmed. And I think at this point, I should probably pass back over to you and Andy in the studio to talk about the real transfer stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stu.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Hearing, I love it.
Hearing Stewie's voice.
I liked his little seamless link.
Yeah.
Stewie, we've already talked about the transfer stuff.
Exactly.
Come on, mate.
Sort it out.
No, I love all that. That was thinking, that is brilliant.
I should have thrown it back to myself, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And now back to you, Mark, in the studio.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. By the way, you're fantastic. yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much, Ahmed, for talking to us. And we will see. I've just been checking, actually, while that was while we were listening to that. The Just Giving account that a fan set up for him, basically to try and get him a ticket to the Everton game. They're playing just down the road from him. Has now raised £281, which I'd imagine is a significant amount for Ahmed, and not too far off him being able to make the trip over to come and see us.
Well, that would be incredible.
And hopefully get a little introduction to the Ipswich Town fans. That would be superb. Boys, let's move on from something quite serious and interesting to something not at all serious and mildly interesting. It's time for Mark's big question.
Question.
Yes, absolutely nailing this. Hutchie, before we get on to this week's, I want to know the answer to last week's, because you're a man who's been, you've travelled, boy.
I've been around the world and
Yeah, yep. And you've once revealed that you were mates with Jonah Lomu on Facebook.
Yes.
Last week's question was the most famous person you've ever met, and I reckon you've probably got some good answers for this.
David Cameron.
You met DC?
Yep.
Friend of the pig.
Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown?
Yeah.
How come you met... Oh, I assume through your news
career.
Most
famous person I've ever met.
Who was your favourite out of DC and Big Gord?
Big Gord.
Yeah?
We went on the classic Boiler Factory tour in Worcester, which I've been on with so many people.
Politicians do that.
I'll take you guys one day. It'd be great.
Did Gordon do that thing he does with his mouth where he stops talking and hangs his mouth
open?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. There's a picture of us together, actually. There's a really bad picture of me and Ed Miliband somewhere on the internet as
Friend of the politicians.
I know.
Unbelievable. Wouldn't have you down as a politico.
No.
So other than the big name, the big beast of the political jungle, who's the most famous person?
Dom Jolly.
Does he still qualify as famous?
No.
Jonah Lomu is pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah, Jonah Lomu. I've met quite a lot of famous rugby people. Johnny Wilkinson. Chris Latham, who is a very big Australian rugby player.
Literally.
Got to know him quite well.
Yeah.
No one kind of outside of work, really. I don't know if I've ever really met anybody hugely famous outside of work. I did see... Do you remember John Tickle?
Yes.
Saw him on the Tube once.
Yeah, from Big Brother. Ross won't have any idea who John Tickle was.
No, he got his own spin-off series. I can't remember if it was called Brainiac or something.
That's right.
Saw him on the Tube.
His thing was being a geek, wasn't it?
Blake Bortles. NFL quarterback.
Well, how did you meet him?
Yeah, he taught me how to throw a ball.
What?
Some more Jags and Jacksonville Jaguars players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Unbelievable. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah.
I want to go deeper into that.
He taught me how to throw a tight spiral, which ironically he can't do himself.
You suck, Blake.
He does.
Yeah. Questions between 1 and 53.
I think we have to have 47, don't we? Ahmed, 47.
47. Oh, this is interesting. This is deep, my friends.
Oh, no.
Gandhi, see where I'm going with this. Gandhi said the secret of life is to know oneself. He did, because I've read his essential writings. So what are your best and worst traits?
My worst traits are that... When I'm not in a particularly good mood, I get incredibly quiet.
And Mardy, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, it doesn't happen all that often, but when I do, I just kind of like, just can't be bothered with anyone today.
Bit sulky.
Yeah.
Bit sulky.
So I'm meant to be saying my own worst traits here.
I was adding colour.
It can be a little bit. I internalise it and sulk, but that affects others. You shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't.
Best traits. Kind.
Yep. You are kind, I'd say.
I'm a kind person, I think.
You're a nice young man, and as we've already discussed, you have very muscular calves.
Oh, was that what Gandhi was getting at?
I don't think it was, no, but I'm just mentioning it.
Yeah.
Roscoe? So just to confirm, Andy's best trait, kindness. I'd say that's fair. Very nice young man. His worst trait, getting a bit sulky and mardy.
I wouldn't have said sulky, but maybe...
I would.
Okay.
Roscoe, what's your best and worst traits?
You probably already know my worst trait.
Being late?
Yes.
Yeah.
Organisation.
Yeah.
That as well.
Yeah.
Many bad traits.
Very poor immune system.
Yeah, that as well. Good traits.
What's your best trait? What would Sasha say is your best trait?
I'm kind as well. She says I'm kind. No?
Well, no, I'm not saying you're not, but yes. Let's
do you think something you're kind?
Else. I think so. I'm lovable.
You are lovable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
I love a hug.
I would say you are lovable, actually. That's fair. I once, when my sister graduated, Stephen Fry gave a speech at her graduation. It's a really good speech. And he said, basically, above all else in life, the most important thing is to be nice.
Mm.
Because he says you can forgive yourself all kind of other regrets, but the things that he regrets most in life is where he's failed to be nice to people. And what more can people say about someone other than, oh, they're a really nice person? Mm. You know, that's a great thing to say, isn't it? My best and worst traits are both the same.
Okay.
Massive cock. It's a gift and a curse.
Again, Gandhi, that's where Gandhi was going with it all.
It's a gift and a curse. So he giveth and then he taketh away. Very unfair.
Okay.
Seriously, my best traits are my worst trait. My worst trait is I get... quite angry sometimes. I'm quite a fighty individual, and that can snap quite quickly. I go from not at all fighty to very fighty very quickly.
Is that a blessing, though, given that you do actually do fighting?
Yeah, well, it's not, though, because they always say you need to be controlled in a kind of fighting circumstance, and you do. You can't just go in there all emotion, because then you get a massive adrenaline dump and you're blowing out your arse within a minute. So I'd say that's probably my worst trait. My best trait, what would I say? I can't say I'm kind. What would you say my best trait is?
I would say...
Brilliant boss.
No, we're not talking work. Oh, okay. That's nonsense. Although, you think you care about how other people are?
I do. I'm empathetic. And,
this is very deep, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But yes, you have time for others. Make sure you're good at making sure everyone's all right.
Yeah, I am actually quite empathetic, I would say. Not pathetic, empathetic.
Pathetic.
I'm pathetic as well.
You are a pathetic individual.
Right, well, this all got very deep.
You're all right, mate. Yeah. I like you.
You're good. Thanks, mate.
Good. Ross, you're all right.
I think we're all right.
Well.
Ross is lovable. You're kind.
And, Ross loves a hug.
What would you say, the doctor, what would you say his best trait is?
Stu's best trait... His mind.
He has a very analytical mind.
Mm, thorough.
And yet
he's
also,
very, very thorough.
Ironically, incredibly forgetful.
Yeah, he is a bit ridiculous because I've never met a more thorough person. But that thorough nature to him means he just forgets the most stupid things. Like his
computer.
Yeah. He's too thorough.
Absolutely. There you go then. That was an unexpectedly deep one. I don't know. I must have had a drink when I put that on the list. Because
it's very different to some of the others, isn't it?
Well, as you say, we've got like literally the question before that is so we've got Gandhi said the secret of life, so very, very deep. The question before that, sausage bap or bacon roll? There you go.
Should we take that one now? Because I have had a sneak peek at mailbag and there's a question about what sauce you should have on either.
Okay.
So should we just do that one now?
Let's do that one as well. I would say sausage bap all day, every day.
Yeah, sausage bap brown sauce for me.
Brown sauce, yeah, absolutely. Because brown sauce is like a treat. You don't get it that often, do you? Mm. So, we'll see what you say.
You're a ketchup man.
Yeah, ketchup man.
But you go sausage, yeah?
Yeah, sausage.
Bacon.
Yeah.
I think bacon is a bit overrated.
Mm. Yeah, I do as well. Like, don't get me wrong. It's all right. And a bacon and egg sandwich, that's different gravy.
Absolutely, literally.
But if we're talking sausage or bacon, it's got to be a sausage.
Every time. Hutchie would always pick sausage.
Correct.
Let's do mailbag before we get too deep into start hugging each other and stuff. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of questions, so thank you very much, first of all, for your input as ever.
Can I sing the song, please? I haven't done it for ages.
Do you know what? We didn't do it last week, and Alistair Attray was not happy. You did listen to it. Excellent.
I did listen to it. I listened to it while I went out for an evening stroll around Bilbao after Vicky had gone to bed.
Lovely. Did you? Do you think it was good?
Yeah.
Excellent. Go on then.
Mailbag. Mark and Andy go dipping in the mailbag. Doo doo.
Excellent. I love the point that just added to it.
The point was I kind of wanted Ross to do it, but I hadn't communicated that.
Sorry.
First of all, we already talked about this, but I'll read it out anyway because, as I say, we appreciate everyone getting in touch. Kevin Hurst just says, any truth to the Judd story? And if so, is it likely to happen? We already said that we think it is unlikely. Tom Lawrence, ketchup on beans on toast, yes or no? What the hell are you talking about, Tom? Beans already are in
you don't
a tomato
need...
sauce.
I'm not. I quite like putting like other sauces in. Like I quite like a buffalo wing sauce in some beans to pimp the beans up
or
a bit.
Or a bit of chipotle or something.
Yeah, yeah. So for anything like that, even a bit of brown sauce, you don't need ketchup
don't
in
need
there,
ketchup.
Man.
Here's another. What are you saying? What are you saying, Ross?
I'm saying.
Do you eat a lot of beans on toast, Ross?
Beans on toast is a massively underrated
thing.
Put meal,
a little
by
herbs, yeah. It's a little spice on it, and that's it, but not ketchup.
You don't need the ketchup.
No. You stick an egg on top of beans on toast.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Now we're talking.
Yeah. Very good.
Officially, one of the best things you can have as a recovery meal after exercise, beans
is
on toast.
Is that true?
Absolutely. It's got
would you add the egg as well for that?
Yeah, extra protein, my friend. What you're saying, I know people who have ketchup with a roast dinner.
What are you doing?
That's so wrong, isn't it?
What are you doing?
Isn't that what gravy's for?
Well, some people don't have gravy, though, do they?
What?
Yeah, Kieran Stanley, friend of the show. Not proper friend of the show, but...
Not official
friend of the show. Don't go chucking those around willy-nilly, because...
I know he'll be listening to this,
He doesn't have gravy on his roast.
I like Kieran, but he's not there yet, and if he doesn't have gravy on his roast, then we're seriously...
That's a big black mark against his name.
He might be excluded from that forever.
Oh, my goodness. And as if by magic, the next question, Radders, says, when you go to Toby's Carvery... Or when you have a roast dinner, what meat do you go with?
What have you asked for? When you put out the questions email,
people just know I'm a foodie, don't they? So we're talking about high level.
So we've
food
gone
stuff.
from beans to gravy to now roast dinner.
What's your favourite meat to have for a roast?
Am I just picking one or?
He says what meat do you go with when you have a roast dinner?
One of two.
Yeah.
Beef.
Classic.
Obviously, I really like roast turkey.
Do you?
Like, yeah. I know people don't, like, it's a bit dry.
It is a bit dry.
Isn't it a bit dry? cook it properly then. And it isn't. And it's really nice.
It's also very good for you, turkey.
I love it.
Really good for
beef
you.
Beef and turkey, please. No, I don't like roast pork particularly.
Yeah,
lamb, pork. I would rather not have it roast. Like, I don't want it with a roast dinner particularly. I do quite like lamb, but...
I'm one of these people who think lamb's a bit overrated. Lamb shank, yes please. Lamb chop, not so much.
No.
I'd go beef, though.
Yeah, a good bit of roast beef, you're not going to go wrong with
that.
We
had this, obviously, this argument over the Christmas period, people having roast with their turkey, having Yorkshire puddings, which is just insane.
No, it's fine.
It's not fine. Roscoe, what's your favourite meat to roast?
I'm the same as Hutchie.
What?
Beef and roast turkey.
You like a turkey? Yeah, cook it properly, mate. It's fine, isn't it?
It is.
Excellent. I feel like we're sharing and learning. Gareth Wesley wants to bring it back to football. Cheers, Gareth. Any likelihood of new faces joining the club before we go away to Germany on Thursday?
I'd imagine Danny Mayer would make a decision on where he is going to go at some point this week. He'll want to get whichever club signs him will want him in the building on the grass.
The honey badger wants him in, doesn't he? Lambert wants. I'm going to get this going. Lambert is the honey badger.
You know, Paul Hurst didn't like the Hollywood thing.
I know.
Right? Can you see Paul Lambert embracing the honey badger?
I think if we explain to him what a honey badger is and why he is a honey badger, i.e. very fighty, has no fear. He went full honey badger mode at Carrow Road last season, didn't he?
Yes.
He said, bring them all on. You line them up, I'll knock them down.
I'll box them.
Yeah. While we're playing the fit.
Okay. Well, we will get that to him.
The honey badger.
Run it past him.
He'll like it. Trust me. The pin. Oh, there's no one here. Stewie's not here.
Go on, Ross.
I'm gonna no.
Go
I've
on.
I've been told.
Have a go.
It was bad.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
End of the show.
We'll get reviews now, so you know. I don't want to get a better review.
What number is the pin?
It's only from the boy Rattray.
Okay, yeah. But he'll give me a better review.
Well, if you tried harder, you maybe would get a better review.
Is the pin number two?
On the friend of the show list. Let me just get it up.
You mean you don't carry it around at all times?
I do carry it around at all times, but it's not always in front of me.
I think he's number two.
I think he's number two as well.
Number
yeah, he
two.
Is.
The pin. When was the last time you saw an ice cream van?
On the day of the Carabao Cup first round draw.
Was it?
Parked up outside of our house and I went out and got one. There's a picture on Twitter of me covering the draw from my table with a 99.
It's got to be a 99, hasn't it?
Yep.
Is that what you go for?
Mate,
go?
The ice creams I had in Bilbao.
Were they?
I had one every day.
They're different gravy.
Oh,
are we talking gelato?
Yeah, I had lemon one. Ooh. Oh man.
Oh mate,
take me back.
I had some in Rome from a famous gelateria in Rome, and oh my god, it's like ice cream, but it was like a different species of ice cream. Yeah. It's like something the likes of which I've never had before or since. Yeah. Incredible. Although Flake 99 are decent.
I just had a Twister yesterday. That's all I had.
Did you get it from an ice cream van?
Nah, I just got it in the freezer.
Would that be your choice?
Twisters are good though. I do like if you're going like kind of ice lolly.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they've got that little. There's the two different greens, aren't there? You've got the very much ice lolly, the darker green, and then the light one is a bit creamy. Mm. And you've got your red centre.
Underrated. Underrated.
Yeah. They are underrated. They're disrespected.
Do you know who helped invent Mr. Whippy Ice Cream as well?
Yeah, I do. And it's the best thing she ever did.
Maggie Thatcher, MT. The pin also wants to know, will there be a Kings of Anglia Fantasy Football League competition next season? £10 entry, winner takes all. And he says, brackets, probably me. Fighting talk there from the pin. I don't know. Maybe we should sort one out.
That might take sub-organising.
The problem is it's Premier League though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think.
And I've got to be honest, I don't pay a lot of attention to the Premier League.
If there was a kind of a League One one out there,
we'd be all over it.
Well, yeah.
Ollie Magnus. There doesn't seem to be many links to a right back. Clearly Lambo, the Honey Badger, isn't sold on Emmanuel. And we haven't had a decent right back since David Wright, ironically. So would you be surprised if we didn't bring someone in that fits into Lambert's style of play? So right back, you've got Emmanuel. Who else you got right back?
Danasian.
Junoy Danasian, of course. Who's going to get the chance to win that spot. So there's two there. Do you think they need another one? They're more likely to need someone at left back,
aren't
they?
Yeah, I think so. Look, in an ideal world, would Paul Lambert like another right back? Clearly he would, because he signed James Bree last season. We're not operating in a world where he can just have what he wants. There's an element of having to get the best out of what he's got, and what he's got is a right back that they paid £750,000 for in January, and I think it's the right thing that they've given him a chance. We've said about what we've seen from him, there were some elements that we liked. He's certainly not, you know, he didn't set things on fire, Danasian, but there are things there to like, and that would be a position where I would say that Lambert needs to get the best out of what he's got.
Alistair Rattray, giver of reviews, he's asking a question. Whilst Luke Chambers is evidently one of the best town captains of modern times, does he need to relinquish the number 4 shirt to protect his legacy and allow it to be allocated to a midfielder as traditional numbering dictates? Now, this is your wheelhouse, my friend.
Yeah. Alistair might be expecting me to agree with him, or, well, go with that. I'm happy with him in number 4, to be honest. You can wear 4 at centre-back. I'm not completely rigid on where everyone should be squad number wise. I'm happy with 4 as a centre back. Number 2, however, nothing but a right back. That is it.
Okay. When are the squad numbers out? They
mid,
come out
mid like third week of July, July quite yeah. often, and I cannot wait.
That'd be your Christmas day.
Yeah.
Jack Todd, if you could bring in one ITFC player of yesteryear on a 5-year contract, who would it be and why? Well, straight away I'm saying Gio Dos Santos. 5-year deal, Gio. How old is he now?
He'd be early 30s now.
I still reckon he could rip it up in League One.
He's a free agent.
There you go. Well, you'd only want $1 million a year or something.
He's left the galaxy.
Yeah. What are you saying though?
Are we bringing them in at their peak of their powers? He just says on this 5-year
player,
contract?
I assume so. Player of yesteryear.
I think you can't look. If you want the sensible answer, you're going for one of Robson's boys, aren't you? Because they're the best players that Ipswich Town have ever had. Well, yeah.
Imagine what Beattie would be worth. What's his name, Maguire, is worth 80 million, which apparently they're talking about. What would Beattie be worth?
Exactly. And if you're answering this sensibly, it has to be one of those.
Yeah.
One of those lads. Well, but there are plenty of other players from Ipswich Town's history that would walk into their current team and boss things.
A right back.
Yeah, David Wright.
They're right, yeah.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it? So would that be your answer, Ross? David Wright, that's who you'd bring back.
David Wright is currently like under 23's manager at Norwich City.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hmm. Jason just wants to know, black boots or coloured boots?
Black boots.
Always black boots. If you wear pink boots, I think you should get a yellow card before the game even kicks off.
And you shouldn't be allowed to play. It'd be like turning up with no shin pads.
Exactly. And I also think you shouldn't even have the option to wear coloured boots unless you are a certain level of player. Like Ronaldo, he can get away with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, a midfield plodder in League One should not be wearing fluorescent green boots.
The ones that I hate the most are, it's a bit of a trend now, wearing one boot that's one colour and then one boot another colour. nonsense.
I actually used to do that when I was at university. I bought two pairs of the same trainers in different colours, and I'd wear one was white, one was black.
We already know that you were a...
I was a rascal.
You were a naughty boy.
I wore some rascal clobber back then. Troy Farth...
The
Farth man, says, is there any signings happening this week, i.e. striker, centre-back or Mayer? Do you know? We've already talked about Troy, but thanks for getting involved. Little Melon Man.
Tiny Little Melon Man. Tiny, he's back.
Tiny Little Melon Man. Welcome back, Little Melon Man.
He followed us all in the last week, didn't he?
Did, and we often talk about Little Melon Man and where he went after his initial...
No more. We'll unleash Stu on this one to find out
tell us more about yourself, Little Melon Man, because we're intrigued.
Little Melon Man.
He says that he liked the Honey Badger's appointment. I love his supporter interaction, but I'm just beginning to worry because he's
not... Did he call him the Honey Badger?
No, he said PL, but I call him the Honey Badger. But I'm just beginning to worry because he wasn't able to improve results, and his oddly flippant quotes, e.g. I don't need to be here, if I'm not wanted, I'll go, no problem. What's the percentage chance this will all go wrong, and has this increased since Christmas? They've got to start. They've got to start. They've got to start well, though, haven't they? They have to start well.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Percentage chance it'll all go wrong. Can't really...
You know. I'm not going to put a number on that. No. But it depends what you class as going wrong. I don't know if... I can't see a scenario where it's all gone wrong by Christmas. Mm. Like, gone wrong by Christmas would be completely out of touch with the promotion race. I just can't see that. I also can't see them running away with the league at Christmas either. But... I'm struggling to see a scenario where we would get to Christmas and feel like it's all gone wrong. The more likely thing would be that we get to Christmas and we're still a bit like, which way is this going to go? Is this right or not? But I hope it is, and to be honest,
Andy G, could Tristan Naidam be a viable option at fullback?
A few people said this gets talked about quite often. I'm not a huge fan of that idea. To be completely honest, he's a good football player. I think he's suited to the position that he is playing in. I might be completely wrong, but not for me. I can't see that.
Lewis Mitchell, question for Hutch Hogan. We're both brought up in the bosom of the Tor Clark School of Journalism. I know that name.
Do you?
Taking you back to your uni days, Sawpoint or Polar Bear?
Can we deal with how you know Tor first? Tor was my journalism tutor at university.
Was he? Well, Tor Clark was my wife's first editor.
I'm going to guess where, because I know where he worked.
Yeah.
Was it in Leicestershire somewhere? Harbour?
Harbour Mail. Yeah. That's where he was. Yeah.
Lovely man.
Yeah, nice
really
guy.
Nice
I met him a couple of times.
His name.
That was back when I was in my rascal.
What did he think of you? He
probably thought I was a tool, to be honest.
No, he's friend of the tools. He loved us. He loved us all.
Tor Clark, friend of the tools.
Lovely bloke.
So he's saying, in terms of your uni days, Sawpoint or Polar Bear? We've talked about this before. I remember these are bars, aren't they?
They are both. Is this Lewis?
Lewis Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah. I think he was a couple of years behind me in the same bosom in Leicester. Both bars. They were like, it was part of a chain where you had like a discount card where you could get obscenely cheap alcohol. Questionable quality of the alcohol. I preferred the Polar Bear, if you're asking, but spent more time at Sawpoint because it was nearer my house.
Fair play.
Sawpoint was down by the river. It was quite nice. Had a little little balcony overlooking the river, whereas Polar Bear was closer to like lectures and stuff.
At that point in life, proximity is important.
Yeah.
Martin Bossenquay, do you think Lambert's planned his signings around having some cash freed up from the Bart sale?
Yes.
And with that not having happened, it's put things on hold a little. And he adds hashtag sexy stuff, which is what I like to see.
What else is going on that hashtag?
I might do, actually. Let's see. You answer that question.
The first part of it, yes. I think the sale of Bart might have accelerated some things, and it was part of the plan from early this summer. It was looking likely that he would go, and I'm sure that was all part of the budgetary plans. And I cannot remember the second part of the question now because I'm thinking about sexy stuff.
I can confirm, having clicked on sexy stuff hashtag, that it starts off quite tame. You scroll down a little bit and there's a young lady says, I have a lot of panties I'm wanting to send out, DM for prices.
So it's just not all about football transfers.
It's not. Remarkably, it's not about the Kings of Anglia sexy stuff. So while we've been talking, I've DM'd her on your behalf, Hutchie, to see
thank you
what kind of prices we're talking.
What was the second half of Martin's question?
He just said, There was only one question, really.
Oh.
He'd planned his signings around having some cash.
Yeah.
And now it's not happened. That's put things on hold.
Yeah.
Essentially, yes.
Could have just said yes, couldn't I?
Absolutely. Ben Notley again asking about transfers, Mayer in, Judge out, any signs of anyone else. We've talked about that, Ben, but thank you. Forky isn't trash. A fan of the new Toy Story film, I assume. Favourite computer / video game ever and favourite ever console?
Have you seen the Toy Story film?
I've not, no. But I've
told How do you know that that's about
Because
that?
I've heard a review.
Okay. Is it good review?
Yeah. People good. Say it's good. Not as good as Toy Story 3, but...
No. Was Toy Story 3 the one with the big evil pink bear?
Yeah.
Quite liked that.
Yeah, that was really good. It's emotional at the end.
Yeah, it's emotional.
And I'm told that you can't really appreciate Toy Story unless you've got kids. Because, A, you've seen it, what was it, 96, the first one? So you were probably a child when you watched it, and now you have children.
Yeah.
And you see it through a different way. Obviously, my only child is a quite large bulldog, so I can't appreciate it in the same way. What's your favourite computer / video game ever and favourite ever console, Forky wants to know?
Sega Mega Drive was my console of youth.
Yeah.
Didn't have one, but my cousin did.
Yeah.
So... And they lived near Oxford. So whenever we went there, it was a little treat. My favourite game was Streets of Rage 2.
Awesome.
Which is an incredible piece of computer game.
I just need to direct my glaze towards Ross here, because I bet Ross is going, Sega what?
I've heard of it.
Do you know Streets of Rage?
Yes.
Streets of Rage 2 was the better one, and I was always Axel.
Was that the one where there were like cutaway? No, it wasn't. That was Street Fighter, wasn't it? When you had to bash the shit out of cars and stuff.
Yeah. Love that as well.
Streets of Rage was great.
Streets of Rage, brilliant.
My favourite console would be the original PlayStation. Spent a lot of time on that. And Resident Evil 2, I think it was. That was tremendous. And also, obviously, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. That was the first console we actually had. Me and my brother shared that. Crash Bandicoot, I used to quite enjoy.
That was brilliant, yeah. The wife loved that. Roscoe, what's your favourite ever?
Crash Bandicoot. Definitely.
Did they only ever make one of those, or was that kind of a...
I think they made a series.
I think I only played the first
one. What console, Roscoe?
PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. Then I moved on to Xbox. So that's what I've got
You left Sony?
Yeah.
Poor Sony.
So what have you got, the Xbox 360, is it, or whatever it is now?
Xbox One.
Xbox One.
Yeah.
What? Ross, have you brought the jingle with you that we need to play for Archant Podcasts?
No.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't sending that email, so...
Oh, so...
We have to. Oh, Stu freestyled it last week.
Yeah.
Can you remember it?
Basically, if you want to get involved and sponsor this.
No, there's a jingle as well.
Is there a jingle?
Yeah, there's a proper jingle. If you like murder mystery and unsolved crimes, or Norwich City, or Brexit, then go on to Archant Podcasts and listen to Archant Podcasts. Or just carry on listening to our podcast, because this is the one that you want.
Because it's the best one. And also, if you listen to this, I'm thinking you're probably not interested in Norwich City.
It's probably not for you, is it?
Let's Simon, Portman Ginge on Twitter, says, not so much a question, but a shout-out for Mark, thank you, for requesting the Ice Cafe, the Ice Burger, sorry, for recommending the Ice Cafe, my last food review. The Ice Burger was out of this world. Glad you enjoyed it, Simon. That's certainly a good place to go. American-style eats.
Where is that?
It's in Wrotham. Rotherham Airfield. Not the obvious place.
Well, American, though.
But it's very nice. Seriously, you'd like it there. Big American-style eats. An excellent...
Maybe get rid of the OK Diner, then, and just go there.
Yeah, but it's kind of at the start of your journey, as opposed
That's fine.
You could do breakfast. They do breakfast there.
Well, this is a silly thing. The OK Diner, we go in there for breakfast, but quite often we're not getting there till 11:45.
Go there for breakfast, man.
Well, it's not up to me.
Well, OK. Adrian Hawes, who is your favourite act at Glastonbury this year? It has to be The Cure. And who should headline the 50th anniversary next year? This is one for the resident music producer and fan and photographer, Ross. Who is your favourite act at Glastonbury this year?
I think, you know, Storms is up there, because such a massive thing for him to be a first grime act to like headline.
I very much liked his was it a stamp proof vest that he was wearing with the Union Jack on?
You know who designed that?
It was
Banksy.
Banksy, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I do like a bit of Stormzy.
I'm going to put this out there, though. Stormzy's little duet with Chris Martin was rubbish.
Yeah, I skipped that bit.
Why does he call out Chris Martin? Why does he need Chris Martin?
I don't know. It wasn't very good.
Because Chris Martin wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really like... Stormzy's actually the only bit that I watched from Glastonbury.
Yeah, same.
But really. he was very good. Chris Martin.
Could have brought out our boy Ed Sheeran, couldn't he?
I think he wanted to. Did he say that he wanted to? Ed was busy. Yeah,
probably. Ed's busy on a world tour, isn't he?
Yeah.
No update on my bid to get Ed Sheeran on this podcast, but I've got a good feeling. I'd say, percentage-wise, I'd say 50-50 at least, that Ed Sheeran's going to be sitting across from me when we do this one day. Kevin Mays says, Judge, Bishop and Nolan are probably our best three footballers. Is there a system to get all three in the same team without resorting to putting Judge out on the left?
To do that, you're going to be talking 4-2-3-1, aren't you, with Judge as the number 10 and then a midfield two of Nolan and Bishop. I don't know if there's enough tackling in there, I would say.
So no.
Yeah, you can. I'm not sure if it's for me. Or you could play a midfield. No. They are the three probably most technically gifted players in the team. You chuck Jack Lancaster in there as well, obviously. But as a midfield, any kind of combination of a midfield three without Judge being on the left wing, you're going to be struggling, I would suggest.
Right, we've got 13 minutes left before we get kicked out of this IO radio studio. We've got a lot of questions to get through, so let's start firing through them. Nigel Gooding, which Town player is the most to prove this season?
Most to prove?
Hughes, basically, with his injury record and stuff.
Hughes, Emmanuel.
Yeah. I think in a weird way, someone like Luke Chambers.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of, not just in terms of his own game, but in his own mind, there's a lot of wrongs that he wants to right. Maybe someone like Luke.
King Arthur Pickthorn wants to know, it's not an important point, but why have we never ever seen Edwards on the left? Considering that's where he played for Posh, it just seems strange he's not been tried there. Him and Lancaster on the wings next year would be exciting.
Yep, we talked about that a few times on here, isn't it? A bit of a head-scratcher that neither of the managers have done that.
Nigel, if a film was made of this coming season's promotion campaign, which actors would play the players' parts and who would play Lambo?
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie? To be fair, he can be quite threatening. Have you seen The Night Manager?
Yep.
Very good in that. As celebrities, would you all get cameo roles?
Yep.
Obviously, as ourselves, though,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, just ourselves.
Just be ourselves. Who would play Luke Chambers? I know who played Luke Chambers. I don't know the guy's name. He's in Happy Valley, and he was in that... that Russian mafia thing the BBC did.
I can't help you with that.
I can't remember his name. He played a psychopath in Happy Valley. Chambers. And Lambo. So we say Hugh Laurie. That's a good one.
I think Hugh Laurie would be a good Paul Lambert. I think I saw Cole Skews at the weekend at the beach, by the way.
Did you?
In Oldborough, yeah.
Of course, in Oldborough.
I think he was there.
South Oldsborough.
They're both good.
I bet it was hellacious, wasn't it? In terms of the amount of people.
It wasn't that bad, actually. I was expecting it to be worse. No, it was all right. Oh,
good Lord, you're a braver man than I. Go to the beach in 34-degree weather. Mike King, whilst I don't think we need a massive turnover of players this summer, why do you think there haven't been more players coming in? And will there be any more arrivals before Germany? So Mayer, potentially, we're saying, if he obviously decides he wants to come.
Stu's written side. That piece, hasn't he?
Don't panic, essentially.
Go and read that, rather than a long-winded answer here.
Yeah,
that.
Online. I think it went online Saturday morning. Stuart Watson wrote a piece about when Town have traditionally done their business and why we shouldn't be panicking. Kevin Major, not an Ipswich-related question, good, but I know you like American sports. Did any of you go to watch the baseball in London over the weekend? I went on Saturday, nearly 5 hours, and the score 17-13 to the Yankees. A great evening's entertainment. First time Major League Baseball's come to the UK. The biggest rivalry in Major League Baseball, Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees, and the first game was 17-13.
That's the highest score ever between those two
teams.
Which
is an incredibly high scoring game.
It was 6-6 after one inning.
Yeah, yeah.
Baseball's not a...
It's not my thing, no. Really, baseball, but I'd quite like to go and watch the game.
If I wasn't away, I would have probably gone.
It's an excuse just to drink beer and eat food, as far as I can
tell. A few friends of mine covered it.
Yeah.
Sort of for the papers, the national papers they work at. And they got given this, I want to find out what it was called, this massive sausage thing. It was designed for a family of four to eat.
What, and they were given one each?
Yeah. Let me find it.
Who was the home side? Was it technically the Yankees at the home?
I think it was the Red Sox. They played again on the Sunday, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to me.
While we're considering this, James Payne wants to know, bacon sandwich, do you have brown sauce or ketchup? Now, we've discussed earlier...
Why is there so much... Why is this happening today?
That Mark Heath is quite a force in the food world, and they want to know my views on food. So I would say, I think we've already discussed this, if I got a bacon sandwich, if I'm allowed to choose, I'd go brown sauce.
Right.
Right what? That's the right answer, or...
Yep.
Have you found the sausage?
No. I'm just saying you are correct.
Where are we? James Gulk, another American fan, sports fan. What would an Ipswich Town NFL franchise be called? Also, what would be the name of the accompanying cheer squad? I want a good hustle from you guys.
So a name of maybe Ipswich Punch?
The Ipswich Punch. They're normally sort of named after animal. The Ipswich Honey Badgers.
Yeah.
No?
That's not for me.
The Ipswich Ponies.
yeah, probably a good description.
And what would be the name of the accompanying cheer squad? Well, obviously, I don't agree with cheer squads because it's sexist. So, can't answer that, James. Jack Slaughter, friend of the show.
Good singing.
Number
four.
No question this week, just keep up the good work. Oh, thanks, Jack. Also,
cheers, Jack.
Also, give At The Offensive Pod a listen. It's hilarious. Not something I'm familiar with, Jack, but I'll have a look. And then the final question, which we've already discussed, which is great. TWTD report there's a release clause in Judge's contract. Have you asked about this? How much, etc.? So you understand there isn't a release clause?
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that clause may possibly have been in his previous... in the previous contract.
Oh, when he signed in January, whenever it
potentially
was.
Potentially in the option year that was in the contract that was never taken because they negotiated a new one. Potentially Ipswich might have tried to negotiate that one out. And succeeded.
There you go. No release clause. Thanks very much for all your questions this week. It was a bumper mailbag, as they always seem to be these days. Mostly food related, which I approve of.
Very heavy food related today. Want,
says the man who's got the box of cornflakes next to him as he answers these questions. Not
much cornflakes chat.
Are you going to dive into those back when we get back to the office?
Not quite yet. I might have a bowl at lunchtime.
Any sausage update?
I can't find it. It was huge though. It was massive.
Is it called a mega dog?
It was something like that.
A giant porker.
I will find it. How much waffle have you got in you that you can...
I can waffle quite a lot.
And are we interested? Do we need to know the name of this? Because I will find it.
I want to know now. Yeah.
Yeah, I will find it.
Shall I start the spiel? And then you
then we can maybe do a podcast extra.
Yeah. Any other business? There is.
Oh, yeah.
You can find the name of the sausage. Roscoe, have you got any other business, anything you want to discuss?
We don't spend about a Joanie tour.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that very briefly, shouldn't we?
Yes.
So, Town, this time next week when we do this, are we going to be able to do this podcast this time next week, first of all?
I don't know.
On-air production meeting.
I think we were going to potentially do one Saturday night, Sunday morning in Germany. Maybe we could do one the middle of next week.
We'll have to converse with IO Radio on that.
Yeah, or we could do one in the old studio.
Yeah. But then IO Radio listeners miss out.
We could send it to them, couldn't we?
The legion of people. It's Saturday, is it? They're playing?
Yeah, Saturday the 6th, they're playing Paderborn.
Paderborn. You boys are flying out on Friday to cover it. You're excited?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah?
Yeah, very Roscoe, much so.
Have you already packed? Have you got your passport?
Yes.
Do you know where your passport is?
Is it in date?
It is in date, yes.
Definitely.
I went on holiday last year.
Has it got more than 6 months on it?
It's got 4 years.
There you go.
Squids
in. So
I'm looking forward to seeing your passport picture, actually. I feel that it might
I can show you the passport picture, actually, in my drawer in the office, because I've still got the other spares. So.
Excellent. I'll put one of those in my wallet.
I'm really hoping that that Ross remembers everything, and Stewie, to be fair, as well. But you two are going to be doing top dadding whilst on this Germany trip. Is this the one where it's your birthday?
No, it'll be the next one.
Roscoe's birthday, on the road, as it were. I also want to mention, before we sign off, we've had a glut of new 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Have
please
we?
Do give
oh,
us,
brilliant.
Please do give us a 5-star review on iTunes, because it helps in our visibility in the iTunes chart. It makes us the Top Kings podcast. I did just want to mention this one from Dave Bellingham, who says, Top Cast, 5 stars, obviously. My second review, and I really love the podcast. It's now my favourite Ipswich Town podcast. Mark, the host, is very funny.
Why did you want to mention this one in particular?
Just because I thought it was representative of the podcast. And someone else, Norfolk Ra, says Stu and Hutch Hogan singing of the various jingles is a highlight of my week.
Excellent. Alistair, take note. We're
exactly,
good.
Exactly. So as I say, do please leave us a review if you do enjoy this nonsense, and it seems a few of you do, which is unbelievable. Subscribe via your various podcast providers so you get this updated every week, plus all the extra special podcasts we're going to be doing, or I won't be doing, but the boys will be doing out in Germany. Will you miss me in Germany?
Yes.
Who's going to host the podcast?
Me. I normally end up doing it.
No, we get the host of our Airbnb. Get them to host it. What's his name?
His name is, I believe, no, it's not Sven. That was my previous host. Jürgen.
Ah, that's a good solid German name, isn't it?
Yeah, he seems like a very nice guy.
Hutchie, have you got the name of the sausage? Yes, here we go.
It's called a boomstick.
A boomstick?
Yeah, it costs 24 quid, 2 feet long, 2,000 calories, and weighs 1.5 kilos. The boomstick is designed to feed a family of four and was on the menu for the Red Sox-Yankees games.
Wow. And how much did that cost?
£24.
24 quid for a boomstick?
Yeah.
I want to try a boomstick.
It weighs topped with cheese, beef chili, jalapenos, and comes with a calorie count of over 2,000.
So that's basically your whole day worth of calories in one boomstick.
Ooh, you can also accompanied by boomstick nachos.
I like the sound of the boomstick.
19 quid.
For nachos?
Yeah.
Mind you, we are talking London stadium prices.
It's called a boomstick, by the way, because it's the same length as a baseball bat.
Wow.
That's the point, apparently.
It's going back to my my best and worst traits again.
How many hot dogs do you reckon were eaten over the course of the two games that they played at?
So we're talking, what, 50,000 plus people there? So they each have a hot dog. I'm saying 175,000.
I want to check that math.
No, the math. I'm doubling it and adding more.
25,000 hot dogs.
Only 25,000?
15,000 chicken burgers, 6,000 chicken tenders, 27,000 burgers, 650 kilograms of bacon, a ton of peanuts, and 2 tons of nacho cheese sauce.
There you go. That's my next food review. I'll tell you who could destroy a boomstick, and that's this man sitting to my right. I bet Roscoe could smash a boomstick and then ask for pudding.
Probably.
Bottomless pit, Ross. Never met free food he doesn't approve of.
Cornflakes.
He's going to dive into your cornflakes.
You leave them alone, my friend.
Boys, next time we talk, Town will have played their first game of the season. It's very exciting. I'm very jealous of you going out to Germany. On Friday, I'm going to the Hand of Flowers in Marlow. It's my 10th wedding anniversary, Hutchie.
Oh, cool. So Tom Kerridge.
To see your mate Tom. Yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And you'll be in Germany. So follow the boys on all our social media, Kings of Anger on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And look out for special pods coming from Germany. Has to start with Stu singing the German national anthem.
I think he's singing it at the game.
Is he?
Yeah, just before kickoff.
That would be amazing.
We've got, I don't know if it'll be for this one. I think I'm going to try and get him on the pitch for the Interwetten Cup.
Just make sure he does the right one, otherwise it could get very awkward. The original one he was singing was is no longer approved.
Yeah, it's not on the approved list anymore.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for joining us this week. I hope you have a good week, and we'll speak to you again next time.